Beloved people of God, this morning as we looked at the letter to Titus, we saw that Paul wanted to emphasize truth, that Paul wanted to promote truth within the church, a truth that would lead to godly lives, a truth that would change people's hearts. Yet he was an apostle called to proclamation, called to deliver that word by preaching the good news of the gospel. And he has even called Titus, his genuine child of that common faith, to walk in his footsteps, to set in order the church in such a way that it would promote that truth, that it would expand that truth, that the word of God would be heard on that island of Crete. A society filled with deception. A society that gave virtue to lying and to deceit. And so, at the beginning of this chapter, Titus is called to appoint elders who would hold fast and firm to that healthy or sound doctrine. And he also institutes in this very verse and gives Titus the authority to preach that sound doctrine, to exhort and reprove and direct the people in that gospel that would lead to godliness. This is a very important aspect in which truth goes forth. It is an important aspect in which faith is worked into the hearts of people. And so we see Titus called as a minister to preach sound doctrine with all authority. Here we see Titus called as a minister to preach sound doctrine with all authority. And as we look at this theme, we're going to see the contents of preaching. Secondly, we will look at the characteristic or the shape of that preaching. And finally, we will look at the authority of preaching. So the contents of preaching, the characteristics of preaching, and the authority of preaching. Here in verse 15, Paul begins by commanding Titus to speak these things. What does he mean by these things? Well, if we look in verses 11 through 14, we see the very summation of the gospel. We see that he is called to teach the grace of God that has appeared. He is to teach about Jesus Christ appearing in his first coming in a historical day and age where he was literally on earth, where he was a man who could be touched and felt, who did the very work of his Father. He is to teach that that man brought salvation to all men, that he instructed them to live in a certain way, instructing them to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is to instruct the people in the truth of Jesus Christ and all that he had done historically, but also that he is coming yet again, as he has promised, and that we live in an age where we look forward to that second coming. And these things shape our very lives. Titus is to teach these things. Yet is it only these things? If we look throughout the rest of this letter, we saw at the very beginning of chapter 2, "But as for you, speak or declare these things which are fitting for sound doctrine." He also wants to exhort and give a certain way to live. He ought to teach these ethical ways which God has taught them to live. And again, as we heard this morning, in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently." And those things which he is referring to is the very fact that they were once liars. They were once disobedient. They were deceived and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending their life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. They ought not put themselves in a place of pride over the rest of Cretan society, because they too were sinners in need of grace. Yet he is the one who has saved them. So these things means that he is to teach the work of God in saving our lives. The work of salvation in Jesus Christ that was completely done by him. Yet that this truth leads to a changed life. It leads to looking forward to Jesus Christ coming again, and therefore we would deny all sin, all deceit, but that we would live godly lives, for he has saved us, that we may be zealous for good deeds. These are the things which are contained within that healthy, that sound doctrine. And Titus is to declare these things because it leads to a healthy life. Yet this also means that there is limits to what Titus must teach and preach. For he must not be willing to give in to that society. He must be willing to preach the truth even when it is not well received, even when it means that he might suffer for teaching these things. He too must be faithful to that sound doctrine, that he would not change the message in order to appease the itching ears of the day, that he must not use that gospel to suit the needs of men, their desires of the flesh. He must not use it to gain popularity or wealth, but instead he must preach and teach these things. Therefore, Titus and any pastor needs to be limited to preaching that which is fitting for sound doctrine. They must only speak that which is supported and conveyed by the Scriptures. This protects the doctrine of the church, and it means that the very words that are being taught and preached are the very words of God, are based on that apostolic teaching. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians, only a few pages back, page 1182. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." This gospel that comes, that is taught, is the very Word of God. Yet this preaching has certain characteristics. I've used that word preaching several times, yet we do not technically see it anywhere in our text. But these characteristics that Paul portrays here are exactly what is in preaching. For when Paul says these very same things to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, he tells Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." To preach the word means that there is an aspect of conveying that knowledge and teaching, that there is exhortation or urging, positively walking alongside of those who believe and helping them. But also, there is the negative. There is the rebuke to direct them back to the truth. And so, first of all, there is the need to teach. Titus needs to give that sound doctrine, to speak it, that people may gain the knowledge of it. He must speak the truth that the people may learn, that it may be promoted, that it may grow, and that the church may be faithful. And that is why Paul also says in Romans 10, 14 and following, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The truth must be taught. It is an essential part of preaching. Yet he is also called to exhort. Now it's not clear here in English, but these things also applies to the words exhort and rebuke. So he is to exhort and rebuke with these things. He is to use the word of God to direct their path. He is to declare how they are to live ethically in the light of this healthy doctrine. He is to urge them on the right path. It means to come alongside of, to direct, to guide. So ministers of the word must not only give the truth, give this doctrine, but he also needs to encourage them not to be hearers of the word only, but doers also. Preaching should not leave a person at gaining knowledge, but without any response in faith, without any repentance in the truth. To preach the Lord Jesus means that you submit to him as Lord, that you willfully love him and obey him and do all that he commanded because he is your Lord. And so our catechism also teaches that we must preach in such a way that opens the kingdom of heaven, as it calls people to repentance and faith, that they are called to obey and know that gospel. The one who truly forgives all their sins, that they must be called to belief. but it also means that it rebukes. Paul tells Titus that he is to use the sound doctrine to rebuke. He is to use that doctrine to convict people of deceit, of their wrong, of their sin. And he is to silence those who speak that false gospel. He is to use that word to protect the people of God and to discipline them. Discipline those who do not teach or live in the way that is fitting to this gospel. And so Paul here is shaping the ministry of Titus to have these characteristics. To have truth, to have encouragement and exhortation, but also to have rebuke, to discipline with the word. But he modifies this all with a few simple words. Again, look at verse 15 with me. These things speak, or teach, or declare, and exhort, and reprove with all authority. Titus is to bring this word with all authority. Authority means that it has power. By what power does Titus come into the Reformed Church of Crete to put in order what remains? What authority does he have to urge the people to walk in a certain way and to teach and to correct people in right and wrong? What right does he have? Who are you, Titus, to say how I ought to live? By what right do you have come to me and tell me I need to live this way or that way, or that this is the truth? But Titus isn't coming with the authority of persuasive rhetoric and words. He's not coming with the authority of the sword. He is not coming with powerful rhetoric that is persuasive because of his eloquent words. But he comes with the authority of the church that is called by God to proclaim the truth of the gospel. He comes with the authority of Christ. As Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples, giving to the church this authority. As he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The authority that Titus comes with is not an authority in which the world often finds persuasive. But he comes with the authority of the Word of God. Whereas he preaches with the words of sound doctrine, he can say, thus says the Lord. And so we need to heed God's word, to heed that truth that comes to us, because it has great power. It has great power to work faith within our lives. As Romans said, hearing the word of God brings faith. Ephesians 6 reminds us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 also tells us, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God preached by its ambassadors and heralds brings that message of God which has a great power to open and close that kingdom of God. And so, beloved people of God, do not despise that office of minister, as it comes with the divine command, which comes through that church where Jesus reigns over his people with his spirit and with the word. God uses the preaching as a means in which to bring the truth of grace. It is through the word of God that is preached and proclaimed that the grace of God appears to us, where God himself is revealed. Therefore, a messenger of God's word brings this divine authority as he teaches, rebukes, and exhorts with the authority of God. Let us take heed to these words. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we thank you for your word. Your word preached, that our hearts and lives may find faith, and that we may come to know you, that the revelation of you would come, that we may gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding because of the truth conveyed in the preaching of the word. And so, Lord, change our hearts. Help us to heed and hear that word. Give us a desire to heed and submit to that word, that the kingdom of God might be opened to us, and that we might live godly lives in accordance with that faithful and true and healthy doctrine. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.